If you could turn in your Bibles with me to Numbers chapter 20. Numbers chapter 20. And if you're there, can you say amen?
Amen.
All right, Numbers chapter 20. And before we read this passage of scripture together, just to give a context, it's right before the Israelites are supposed to enter into the promised land, okay? And if you guys know this whole long story and saga with Moses and the Lord and the Israelites, a lot has happened before we jump into the text right here. The Lord appears in a burning bush. You guys remember that story? And he begins to call Moses into ministry. He begins to call Moses into greatness. He begins to call Moses into something amazing. And Moses is freaking out at this bush that's not burning up, right? But then he begins to say, God, can you please send somebody else? Because I have this speech problem and I can't do it. I have this issue. I have this fear. I have this insecurity. I have this inadequacy. So send someone else, right? But the Lord, he didn't get mad because they just met, okay? They just met. So he's like, okay, you know what? Burning bush, you're more afraid of your speech impediment than this bush. But okay, we just met, right? There's some grace there. But then if you continue on in the story, there's some crazy miracles that God releases step by step by step. And he's teaching the Israelites and Moses all along this journey how to hear his voice, how to trust in him for daily needs and provision, how to look to him no matter what their circumstance looks like. God is dropping manna. I always picture manna being like naan, right? Like from Indian restaurant, because it's like, you know, it's like flat or whatever. And there's just bread flying from the heavens every day. There's quail falling from the heavens every day. There's water flowing from rock. God is so good at saying, hey, look at how much I care for you. Look at how much I provide for you. Look at how I meet your every single need. Look at how good of a father, of a provider I am for you, Israel, right? And Moses is also learning that along the way. He's just this man, right? He's a shepherd. He's out with his sheep. And then all of a sudden, he's able to part the Red Sea. Whoa, couldn't do that before, right? Where did this power come from? Moses is seeing, I'm just this man, but look at how God is using me. Look at what God is doing through me. God is really inspiring Moses and the Israelites to trust in him for provision, to make a way where there was no way in the wilderness time. And so in the desert, though, specifically in Exodus 17:6, God commands Moses. The Israelites are grumbling, okay? There's no water here. The Lord has brought us out of Egypt just to die, okay? They said that all the time. And then one time, they're complaining because there's no water, which is a legitimate concern. And the Lord commands Moses, strike the rock and water will flow, okay? In Exodus 17. So Moses strikes the rock. Water flows from the rock, okay? And then they have what they need. But then we jump into the text in Numbers chapter 20, and that's where I want us to read together. Numbers chapter 20, verses 1 through 13, and we can all read it together. And the people of Israel, the whole congregation, came into the wilderness of Zin in the first month, and the people stayed in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. Now, there was no water for the congregation, and they assembled themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people quarreled with Moses and said, would that we had perished when our brothers perished before the Lord. Why have you brought the assembly of the Lord into this wilderness, that we should die here, both we and our cattle? And why have you made us come up out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? It is no place for grain or figs or vines or pomegranates, and there is no water to drink. Then Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the entrance of the tent of meeting and fell on their faces. And the glory of the Lord appeared to them. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the staff and assemble the congregation, you and Aaron, your brother, and tell the rock, before their eyes to yield its water. So you shall bring water out of the rock for them and give drink to the congregation and their cattle. And Moses took the staff from before the Lord as he commanded him. Then Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock. And he said to them, "Hear now, you rebels, shall we bring water for you out of this rock?" And Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock with his staff twice. And water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their livestock. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not believe in me to uphold me as holy in the eyes of the people of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land that I have given them. These are the waters of Meribah, where the people of Israel quarreled with the Lord, and through them he showed himself holy." Okay, so this, we've all read it, and we know that Moses got in big trouble, right? He struck the rock. When he should have, what? Spoke to the rock. He struck the rock when he should have spoke to the rock. And then God says, "Hey, Moses, because you did not believe in me, you shall not bring this assembly into the land that I have given them." That's pretty harsh, right? Look at how faithful Moses has been. Look at how good of a shepherd Moses has been. Look at how God has used Moses powerfully through miracles, through signs and wonders to lead this Israelite people this far. And soon they're going to step into the promised land. And God says, "Moses, speak to the rock and water will flow." Okay? Why is this a big deal? Why is this a big deal? That God would give Moses the specific command to speak to the rock. You know, God brings people into the promised land, into promised land faith, but he cares about us as individuals as well. He's bringing New Philadelphia corporately into promised land season, out of the wilderness, into inheritance. If you guys were at Sunday Swim, we released a lot of praise reports about what's going on in our church, in our movement. And man, before, guys, when we were doing a lot of, increase in office search, all this stuff, we would pray and contend and pray and contend, and nothing would happen. We'd meet open doors, we'd meet closed doors, opposition. But now it's like we pray and we inherit. We declare and we receive. And it is supernatural the way that God is moving right now. And Pastor Christian preached last week that we're all corporately entering into that. But just like we're corporately entering into promise faith, promised land faith in this season, God is calling us to that individually. Our personal promised lands, okay? Because there are things in our lives that have kept us in the wilderness for a very, very, very long time. There are certain mind patterns, sin patterns, habits, thoughts that have, I guess, drawn us to a place of intimacy and brokenness before the Lord, in which we receive his daily provision and revelation and intimacy and anointing. But God is saying, just like I'm moving the house corporately, I'm moving you into promise as well. And I want you to interact with me differently in your personal walks. There's a personal freedom and breakthrough and promised land that God's entering us into as well, that God is calling us to. And so I want to just take a break here and unpack speaking to the rock. What is God intending? What is his heart in this? Okay. First off, God is confronting unbelief. God doesn't let us get away with our unbelief. Isn't that cool? It's like, if we have faith for these 10 things, but there is this one area of our life that we doubt him, that we struggle, that it's hard for us to believe, and it's hard for us to look in the eyes of faith and not in the natural. God doesn't even deal with the stuff that we have faith for, but he pinpoints that one thing. And he says, over and over and over again, he gives us opportunities to choose faith. Over and over again, he gives us opportunities to rise up in belief and in hope and expectation. There is so much patience and kindness and grace from the Lord, but he will never forget about our areas of unbelief, our areas of doubt and fear. And that is exactly what God is doing in Moses' life right here. Okay, before he enters into the promised land, God is confronting an area of unbelief in Moses' life personally. And second, God builds a history with us. Like I said earlier, God excused Moses from trusting him regarding the speech impediment, voice thing, right? At the call, the burning bush. God excused Moses at the middle of the desert when he said, okay, Moses, just strike the rock. Just strike the rock, right? Don't use it. Just strike the rock. It's okay. It's okay. I've shown you some stuff right now, but we need some time to walk together in the wilderness. I want to show you more of my faithfulness and goodness. But this time, right before they go in geographically and literally into the promised land, God says, now you're ready, Moses. Speak to the rock. Speak to the rock because now you're ready. Maybe you weren't ready when I first encountered you, even though it was a burning bush. Maybe you weren't ready in the middle of the desert, even though I had shown you so much. But now you have seen too much. Now speak to your rock. Now speak to it. Before God physically took Moses into the promised land, Moses needed to enter into his promised land of freedom, of being able to believe God for that one area where he doubted, okay? You know, a wilderness time, a wilderness season, if it's an unfamiliar term, it's a time of you know, there's maybe trials and tests and suffering or areas of our life where it's difficult, where we have to trust in the Lord. But it's also a time where we lean into God in intimacy, where we begin to know his heart. And that's something that, you know, we read about in Song of Solomon. I'm entering out of the wilderness, leaning on my beloved. And it's so poetic and beautiful. And it's a time where God draws us close to him. And we begin to say, God, what's your heart? What's your heart for me? What's your heart for my family? What's your heart for this nation? What's your heart for the nations? What's your heart for my workplace? What's your heart for this relationship? God, what's your heart? We ask that question. And because of that place of nearness and intimacy, God speaks to us and he gives us his heart. He gives us his affection. He gives us his love. It's a really special, sweet, intimate time with God. And wilderness seasons are nothing to rush through. It's a beautiful thing. We know, like I said, we're cared for, we're safe, and we're provided for by God each and every single day. He gives us manna, he gives us quail, he gives us water. But as we near the end of our wilderness season, God says, now that we've had this time together, walking in intimacy, now that you know me and have seen my goodness and greatness, I want you to speak to your rock now. I want you to speak to your rock. You have the faith to do it. You know, God gave Moses an opportunity not to fail, not to disobey, but God was giving Moses an opportunity to overcome. God was setting Moses up to overcome and to inherit greatness, to overcome this one thing that was holding him back. He didn't enter into the promise geographically or spiritually, though. You see, even if God would have let Moses enter into the promise geographically, he wouldn't have been able to enjoy and to steward the blessing of the promised land because of that one little thing. Because that one little thing, that one fear, that one inadequacy, that one insecurity to him was greater than the glory and greatness and power of God. He exalted it higher than he exalted the power of God. You can't inherit promise when your fear is greater than your God. Because God was setting him up with that opportunity, now, Moses, I want you to overcome. When we take those challenges, guys, and we don't shrink back in fear, but we're like, okay, I'm just going to do it because God said to do it. When we speak to our rock instead of going into what is safe, what is motivated by fear, it's like this fearlessness and this boldness is given to us that we never knew was possible. This faith begins to stir in us that we never knew was possible. It's like going against that one thing that used to hold you back. When you do it, there is breakthrough. Water, rivers of living water start flowing into your life, and you do what you thought you could never do. And I really feel like, as God was saying, Rona, Itaewon is a bold people, a great people, a people of faith. The one thing I heard was, tell them to speak to their rocks. Tell them to speak to their rocks, because to access that living water, to access that faith, to access that greatness in you, maybe there's just one or two things that you're like, I can trust you in every area, God, but not this fear, not this inadequacy, not this insecurity. Don't ask me to do that one thing. But the moment you speak to that in faith, and trust in the Lord's greatness and power and provision, man, there's a boldness and a faith and a fearlessness that's going to rise up inside of each of you that you didn't even know you had access to. You see, God didn't ask Moses to do something that he hadn't given Moses faith for. Every thing that God entrusts you with, every challenge in your life, every difficult situation, every relationship that seems to be falling apart, whatever it is that's happening in your life, it's an opportunity for you to speak to the rock. It's an opportunity for you to rise up in faith, because God would never, ever put it in your life unless he's equipped you with the faith, the grace to speak to it and come out victorious at the end. You see, Moses wasn't a faithless man. We look at this and God says, because you did not believe in me, you won't go into the promised land. But when we actually take a step back and study this figure, Moses, he's not faithless. He saw God do things that inspire faith in anybody. If anybody was in Moses' shoes and saw what he saw, you would be faithful. You would be full of faith. You can't help it. You just saw a sea, an ocean parted. You just saw bread fall from heaven. Like, there's so many reasons why Moses had faith. Moses was not faithless, okay? It's not about not having faith. When God says, speak to your rock, and we can't or we're afraid, it's not because we lack faith, okay? It's about accessing what he's already deposited in us. It's already in there, okay? Moses was a man of faith. He had a history with walking with God in the wilderness, step by step, hearing his voice, being led by him every step of the way. Moses had history. Moses had a faith history with the Lord. But that well of faith in Moses was blocked. The well, the depth of relationship and history that Moses had built with the Lord in the wilderness time was blocked by one little fear, one insecurity. I can't speak. I can't speak. I can't speak. Okay? I can't speak, God. I can't speak. Don't send me. Send someone else. From the beginning, and then at the very end, God says, speak, Moses, because I've chosen you. And now I brought you this far. Speak to the rock, Moses. The Lord says, if you will speak to the rock, living water will be released into your life. And it's going to be the tipping point for you to steward and access a greater portion. It's going to remove that blockage from you accessing that history of intimacy where you saw God provide for you, that faith that he's been depositing in you every single season leading up to this point. There's so much inside of you. You have seen God bring you through so much already. If you look back on your life, every single one of you, you will see his faithfulness and his provision, the way that he chose you and lifted you from the ashes, the way that he delivered you. And he says, speak to the rock now. In light of all of that we've been through, in light of how far I've brought you, will you speak to this one area of your life? God is always so detailed and specific like that. He could have just turned the rock into water himself. He could have fixed Moses' speaking issue. Think about that. I can't speak, Lord. Okay. Remove the stutter, speech impediment, or whatever it is wrong with your voice. Perfect voice that sounds like Morgan Freeman. Everything you say sounds so smooth. Okay. It could have just been boom. It's done. But God didn't work like that. And God doesn't work like that in our lives. He wants to overcome by us relying on his grace and power and provision. Right? God is saying, I want you to face the very thing you fear the most until you don't fear it anymore in the light of my glory, in the light of my power, in the light of my greatness. Speak to the rock. You know, this isn't just in the Old Testament, but we saw Jesus do this over and over again in his earthly ministry. And I want us to turn to Mark chapter 8 together. Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, starting with verse 22. All right, Mark chapter 8, starting with verse 22. And they came to Bethsaida, and some people brought to him a blind man and begged him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. And when he had spit on his eyes and laid his hands on him, he asked him, "Do you see anything?" And he looked up and said, "I see men, but they look like trees walking." Then Jesus laid his hands on his eyes again, and he opened his eyes. His sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. And he sent him to his home, saying, "Do not even enter the village." Okay, so this is just one of many times Jesus is walking around, being Jesus, healing people, setting people free, forgiving people, doing awesome ministry, okay? This Jesus shows up on the scene, and there's a blind man. There is a blind man. And Jesus does a peculiar thing, okay? And when I was little, I would read over this and be like, Jesus is just weird, okay? Why would he do this? But no one ever knows, okay? And we will never know. But there's actually reasons why the Word of God is written and why there's peculiarities and specific details like this that we should actually pray and seek God's heart in. And it says that Jesus spit on his eyes and then laid hands on him. And I want to ask why. Why would Jesus spit on a man's eyes? Does anybody know? Anybody ever try to do this to heal somebody? Okay, I haven't tried. Maybe one day. I wonder if, you know, I used to think maybe God the Father gave Jesus a manual. Like, when you see a blind man, I will give you anointed spit. Like, when you see a lame man, I will give you anointed. You know what I mean? But where does this stuff come from? But that didn't happen. Jesus was being led by the Holy Spirit. He didn't trust in, okay, there was blind man number one. I healed him like this. So that worked. So when I encounter blind man number two, this method and this prayer and this angle of spit works. So that's exactly how I heal blind people. And every time I see a blind person, I'm going to minister in that way. A lot of times, guys, that's how we begin to form religion and systems of belief. This worked once. Let me always do it this way because this is safe in the past. Okay. That's not speaking to the rock, though. That's not trusting the Holy Spirit. That's not rising up in faith. It's looking nostalgically at the past and what worked, right? But Jesus spit on the man. And that's exactly what the man needed, okay? Because in the ancient Near East, blind people were treated with so much contempt and shame. There's a reason why God has blinded you. Must be a sin you committed. There must be something that you did because you're getting what you deserve. And they couldn't even enter into the temple and access the presence of God. They couldn't enter into intimacy and fellowship with other people, other followers of Yahweh, because they were treated with contempt. They were dirty. And every single time a person walked past a blind man or woman, they would spit on them. Okay? Every day, sitting down on the street, person, they hear them coming and then immediately hear the sound of spit, feel it on their face. Another person walking up, hear the sound of spit, feel it on their body. Another person walking up, hear the sound of spit, comes on their body. Shame, spit, fear, spit, loneliness, spit, okay? So you can imagine that now it's not just blindness physically, this lack, I can't see. This weakness, I need breakthrough from God here in this physical ailment I have. But now there's this whole trauma and wound and fear associated with this lack, right? Because the stigma associated with blind people now you get spit on. And so every time a person walks up, there's so much fear that's stirring. Are they going to do it too? Hear the sound of spit, lands on their face. Yeah, now the shame is there, the pain is there, the trauma is there. So much is stirring in his heart when he hears people coming and when he hears the sound of spit, someone spitting in his direction. The identity of this man is not just a blind man, but But now I'm full of shame. I'm rejected. No one could love me. I'm all by myself. I deserve this spit, this shame, this kind of treatment. I must have done something. There must be evil. There must be something amiss in me, right? You can imagine how he felt when Jesus came on the scene. And the crazy thing about Jesus is that he didn't lay a hand on him. He didn't say, "You're healed, you see, you're forgiven, now you can see, walk." But because he knew this man's story, he knew what for this man speak to the rock was, he spit. And when Jesus spit, you can imagine the shame and fear that began to well up in this man's heart. But Jesus did it this way because he was saying to the man, it's going to be the last time you hear someone spitting in your direction. It's going to be the last time you feel that shame and that brokenness and that rejection in your direction. The way that you've been hurt, God brings healing to. But he had to expose those feelings. He had to expose that brokenness to heal it, right? Because if Jesus just came and laid hands on him and healed his sight, that man wouldn't enter into his promised land personally. That man wouldn't be whole, right? I have my vision, but people have been spitting on me for years. I've been alone and rejected for years. He wouldn't have been whole. But Jesus heals us specifically in just the way we need it. Okay? Last time you ever hear that sound coming in your direction, now be healed. Jesus brought up all that shame and feared and restored not only the man's eyesight, but his dignity and value. And that man was fully healed and restored. Jesus also did this in John chapter 5. If you could turn there with me. John chapter 5. John chapter 5, starting with verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roofed colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am going, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. Okay? This is another speak to your rock moment. Okay? A paralyzed man. We know this story. He's been there for a very long time. 38 years, you cannot walk. A paralyzed man sitting. The worst part is that he's sitting at a miraculous, magical pool of water, okay? So for 38 years, he sees someone sick come, the water stir, they get in the water, and they leave healed. The next day, people come, they get in the waters, they're healed. Every single day, hope rises up. Today will be the day I can finally go into the magical waters and be healed. Oh, someone just pushed me out of the way and jumped in line and now they're healed and they're leaving. Oh, today will be the day that I can go into the waters and be healed. Oh, someone jumped in front of me in line. I can't get there. No one's to put me in the water. And can you imagine every single day the same thing? You get your hopes up, you're disappointed. You get your hopes up, you're disappointed. You face the same reality, the same disappointment, the same futility every single day. No matter how hard I want it, no matter how hard I try, no matter how much zeal I have, no matter what I do, I cannot get to my one hope for healing into the waters. Every single day, for 38 years, this man had to deal with that hope being disappointed and crushed. He is thinking, it's useless. It's never going to happen. I mean, I don't know who could have that much, like, faith and willpower after 30. I would probably be the same as this man. Like, that's a lot of years. And I wonder sometimes if we feel like this man in other ways in our lives, right? Man, I started with so much hope and zeal and faith for this breakthrough in my finances, in my job, in my family for the salvation of someone, in this relationship, in this area of my life that I'm struggling. I started, but no matter how hard I try, no matter what I do, I can't see breakthrough in it. No matter what, every single time I got my hopes up, went up for that altar call, but I'm still struggling with this same thing. I still don't have faith for this same thing. Year after year, day after day, moment after moment, and we begin to get trapped in futility, right? Ah, nothing's ever going to happen. And I wonder if we can relate to this man in our own lives. But the day that Jesus came, he gave this man an opportunity to speak to his rock, right? Just like when he spit on the man first, Jesus didn't just heal him first. He didn't just speak healing over him, but he asked him a simple question, didn't he? What did he ask him? Yeah. Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be healed? When I read that and put myself in this man's shoes, I am offended. Okay? I am offended on his behalf. Like, can you imagine? Just, put yourself in this man's shoes. You'll be offended too, okay? For 38 years, you've been sitting by magical healing waters. Like, why are you there? Of course you want to be healed. And 38 years, you've been hoping for your healing. Duh, I want to be healed, right? Can you imagine some stranger coming? Do you want to be healed? Like, that's just obnoxious and arrogant. I'm offended if I just put myself in that historical moment, okay? Of course you want to be healed. You've been sitting there. You've been longing for it. You've been disappointed. Your heart's been broken. Who is this guy who'd ask such a crazy question? Okay? He doesn't even know me. He doesn't know how hard it's been for me. He doesn't know the people jump in line. He doesn't know that nobody's over here to carry me to the waters. Okay? That's exactly what he said to Jesus too. That's exactly what he said to Jesus. I'm going to tell him how hard it's been for me. How dare he ask me that question? Do you want to be healed? But just like God spoke to Moses, speak to your rock, just like Jesus spit on this man's eyes, right? Jesus now speaks the very words that elicit the doubt, the fear, the futility, the struggle inside this man. Do you want to be healed? You see, Jesus asked that question to each of us too, into our areas of impossibility. Do you want to be healed? Do you want to? Or do you want to stay hopeless and a victim? Do you want to stay trapped in futility? Do you want to stay trapped by what you see in front of you, by the impossibilities that you face day in and day out? You see, where that man was spiritually, you can see it by his response to Jesus. His faith and his hope were blocked by the hurt and disappointment he faced. And he responded with only excuses and what couldn't happen. But Jesus didn't ask him about those impossibilities. Jesus asked him a question cutting to his heart. Do you want this? Do you really want it? And the way that Jesus brings breakthrough to this man is not how the man imagined, right? Once again, if Jesus had just healed him physically in that moment when he came on the scene, he would not be entering into freedom. He would not be entering into full restoration. He would not be entering into his personal promises, right? You can imagine after 38 years of disappointment and futility, even if you get your healing, there's going to be bitterness inside of you, disappointment inside of you. Every single time there's a line, he's going to cut in front of people. You know what I mean? Like, there's going to be some serious issues in this man's heart. 38 years, people have been cutting, okay? None of his friends helped him. You think he's going to like them after that? No. So then Jesus doesn't just heal him, but Jesus says, do you want it? Do you want to change? Do you want something different in your life? He's saying, actually, do you want to be healed? And by doing that, he's reinstating the man with the power to choose. He's reinstating the man with power, where he was powerless and a victim of this difficult situation and circumstance and situation. He had no say in the matter. Everything was done to him. Nobody would help him. Everybody cut in front of him. Everything happened to him. Jesus is saying, now you choose. Now I want to give you the power again to choose. Do you want it? Okay, do you see what Jesus does there? In one question, he says, you're not powerless with no choices, with just things happening to you, but you're powerful and I'm going to let you choose or not. Okay? Even if this man's physical body was no longer paralyzed, his inner spirit would have remained like that if Jesus didn't ask him this question. Jesus doesn't throw this man into the magical pool of water, right? But he gave him breakthrough by reinstating him with power, with reinstating him with that choice that he is powerful, not powerless. You see, the devil's tactic isn't just to cripple this man, but to cripple the spirit within him. And that is way bigger of a victory from the enemy than attacking our physical body, than giving us a difficult situation to work with. Jesus is asking this man, because he's saying, you can choose to be powerless or you can choose to be powerful. And I want you to choose. No one else can do it for you. And when you get the revelation that you're powerful, your physical healing, your physical situation, your circumstances are going to change. It's going to flow from inward outward, right? It's going to start with a breakthrough inside first. The way that God brings breakthrough to those fears and insecurities, those impossibilities in our lives, sometimes doesn't come, guys, with just the breakthrough in the circumstance itself, in the healing itself, in the relationship itself. It comes by way of Jesus doing the unexpected. God calling us to speak to our rocks. Him pinpointing this particular area in our life, right? Him even eliciting some of those fears so that he can bring restoration. God always starts with what's inside of us and it flows outward. Promised land isn't just something we go into geographically. It's not going to be because we get more money in a building, but it's going to be if we are a people who inherit that promise within first, okay? And it's going to flow outward. You know, last year, I preached this message because there was one particular area of my life that I was really struggling, really, really, really struggling. And I could trust him for ministry and all these crazy things. But then in this one area, I was like, God, I just don't think it's possible. God, I just don't know how you're going to break through. God, I just don't have faith for this. And I was really coming to God in a place of desperation and fear, and, you know, crying tears. Help me, Lord. I have nothing but you. I need you to come through. I don't know if you guys have had those seasons, but it was messy. And there was a season of grace where the Lord would meet me and give me his presence and comfort. But then one morning I began that same rhetoric. And I was just pleading before the Lord, helpless, God, come through. And I heard nothing. I felt nothing. And I paused and I was waiting on the Lord to speak. And he said what Jesus was saying here. I felt God impressing on my heart. Rona, do you want to keep struggling with this? Do you want to keep struggling? And I really had to search my heart. I was offended at first that God would ask me because I was like, of course I don't want to struggle. Of course I don't want my heart broken. Of course I don't want to deal with this difficult situation. But when God asked me that question, it gave me the revelation that I actually have the power to be free or the power to keep myself in bondage, the power to walk in promise or the power to walk, man, I'm in lack, okay? God is asking you, do you want to be healed? Do you want to be free? Do you want the breakthrough? Do you want it? Do you want it? God that day was saying, Rona, I want you to speak to your rock. This one particular area that you can't trust me in, that you have doubt and fear in, can you speak to that rock? You know, another situation came up on our recent mission trip to Cambodia. Michelle went with me from Itaewon. Michelle, okay, the powerful woman of God. And before I went to the trip, I wasn't afraid about being team preacher for the first time. I wasn't afraid about going to Cambodia. But what I was afraid of was what God was putting on my heart for the trip. And he kept pressing physical healing on my heart. And that this trip we will see physical healing. He wants me to step out and pray for the sick. And I was so uncomfortable with this because as I was doing campus directing for SNU Emmaus, one of my students had a very sick sister, and she was struggling with brain cancer of some sort, and we were contending at SNU Emmaus at Hillside for her healing, week in and week out. We laid hands on him. We were crying and weeping for her healing, really accessing faith and declaring healing over this girl. And she got dramatically better, out of the hospital, sent back home. It was a miracle. He went back home to celebrate with his family. She got unexpectedly sicker, and she passed away. And it was 2 years ago that this happened, and I have never had that much faith for his physical healing in my life, ever. I was sure it was going to happen. My mom had 2 brain aneurysms, and we prayed for her, and she was miraculously healed. I have so much faith for brain illnesses. And so when this happened, I was in shock and I was heartbroken. And out of all areas of ministry, it was the one area that I just was really hurt in. And I had prayed for the sick after that, but never with that kind of fervor and that kind of confidence because I was so scared. And when God said, "You're going to preach for Cambodia," okay, I can preach. I can talk for a long time. And then he said, "I want you guys to press in faith for physical healing." I said, "No, God. I don't want to do that. No, I don't want to do that. Because what if we pray and they're not healed? I'm not afraid of failing, but I'm afraid people are going to doubt your love for them. I'm afraid what they're going to think about you. Like, I'm afraid. I don't want to do that, God. No." You know, I really was wrestling with the Lord. And he said, "You know, Rona, I'm going to impart my heart to you and your team. They're going to know my love. But I want you to step out in faith for physical healing." And so I began to say, "Okay, God, give me your heart for physical healing. Give me a greater portion of your heart." And I felt the Lord was saying to me, "Rona, you've been walking with me in intimacy, in closeness, and you have my heart. I want you to tell me your heart for physical healing. How do you feel when you see the lame, the blind, the deaf? How do you feel about that? Are you okay with it?" And God, he began to challenge me to speak to my rock, okay? He began to challenge me to confront an area that I didn't have faith for, that I was exalting fear and insecurity over his greatness and his power and his love. And the moment I opened up my mouth and said, "God, I'm not okay with the broken staying broken," man, this weight of love and compassion just got imparted into my heart, and I just began to weep. And Michelle can testify that almost everyone that we laid hands on that trip was miraculously healed. Vision, eyesight problems, like crazy stories. You can ask her later because she's here. But God released physical healing all over the place. Children got physically healed. They were healing other children. And the craziest thing is that, like, whenever we saw healing, God was also releasing prophetic words that were really key and precise. Like, "Did you get into an accident when you were a child?" "Yeah, I did. I fell out of a coconut tree." Like, that actually happened, okay? And that's how I got this head thing. Like, all these things were happening. And when God was releasing those key words, it was him confirming to me, "Rona, I'm committed to them. They know that I'm the God who sees them, who's always seen them, who walks with them. Even if your team is gone, that I'm committed to them in love. And I'm with them," right? Man, God is so good. And he's saying, "Speak to your rock. Before you go farther in this promise land, faith, year, before you go any farther in 2015, will you speak to your rock? Because there's some things in the past that need to stay back. There's some fears. There's some ways of thinking that we got to speak to." And Pastor Marcus can't do that. God isn't just going to fix the situation because he wants you to see the faith that's inside you. He wants you to see what he's deposited in you. All those years in the wilderness, all the stuff that you've walked through, it's not for just kicks, okay? It's because all along the way he was depositing anointing, authority, intimacy, clarity, discernment, power, faith. He was putting it in you every step of the way. All the stories we've seen as a New Philly all these years, he's been building a history of faith with you. He's been showing you his heart. And now in this year, he's saying, "Before you go farther, speak to your rock. Moses, speak to the rock. You know me by now. You know what I'm capable of. Speak to the rock." What is that area, guys, that we say, "I can trust you in all things except for this thing"? Man, this thing is a source of bitterness or frustration or futility in my life. God is saying, "Will you deal with that before you go farther in this year?" Because even if New Philly inherits everything we're contending for, God wants you to personally inherit the promises he's given to you individually. And in the wilderness, maybe some of those promises got to be so faded, so far away, so impossible that you just laid it all down altogether. But God is saying, you're about to enter in, and I'm giving you an opportunity to speak to that one area of your life. And I want you to see what I put in you. I want you to see the greatness. I want you to see the boldness. I want you to see the fearlessness that I've been depositing in you. You have a well of faith in you. And it's blocked by only one thing, that one situation, that one fear. And God is saying, speak to that. No one can do it for you. Because the moment you take authority with your own mouth and speak into it, you're going to see how powerful you really are. You're going to see the authority that you actually carry. And I really believe that for Itaewon specifically, the leaders, the members, God is going to entrust you guys with so much more. So much more in store for this house. And I feel like in the past, man, maybe you got assignments or things and you were like, I can't do it. And you shrink back or you doubt yourself. But there's no more time for that. Because God has called you a great people. And that one little thing, Moses has a stutter. Okay? Don't let one little thing steal the blessing that God has for you. Because you can easily overcome it with the faith that he's put in you. You are a faith-filled people. You are a bold people. You are a great people. And if you speak to that rock, if you speak to that situation, you're going to begin to see yourself as you really are. And nothing will be impossible for this house, for this community. New Philly, the movement, it needs Itaewon. It needs Itaewon to be fully Itaewon. Each of you to be fully who you are for this movement to go forward. Just like God was asking, Rona, what is your heart for healing? I feel like God is asking that too, to each of us. What is your heart? What do you want to see? How are you speaking in authority over the situation and over this new year? He's reinstating us with power in this upcoming year.